The title of my talk is Change the Criticality of Host Bifurcation for a Multiple Delayed System of Identical Neurons, Some Computational Challenges. I should mention that this is joint work with Jiang Hong, who at York University, and Su Ann Kimmel, who's in the audience from Waterloo. Actually, the title of my talk is a bit, optimistic, maybe misleading. This is really ongoing work. We have not determined the criticality of the single half, double root bifurcation. I'll just introduce some challenges. Basically, this is the model that we're looking at. We have three identical neurons, one, two, three, and the parameters are alpha is what's called the synaptic strength of self-connection. So the synaptic strength of self-connection is the same for all three neurons. And beta is the synaptic strength of nearest neighbor connection right there, and it's the same for all three of them. Tau S is the delay for self-connection, and it's the same for three neurons. The tau N is the delay for nearest neighbor connection, and it's the same for all three neurons. It's important to emphasize that tau S is different from tau N. So there's been work in the literature where people have looked at the case when tau S is identical to tau n, and they've derived some criticality conditions for various types of solutions. Okay, the system of three neurons that I just showed you can be modeled by a system of delay differential equations of this form. For I mod 3, so you have three of them. The parameter mu satisfies this condition here. This is for biological motivated reasons, which I'm not sure of at this point. F has a sufficiently smooth sigmoid amplification function, which is normalized in this session here. For our purposes, we mainly use the hyperbolic tangent function for F. Okay, the system of delay differential equations that I just showed you has some interesting symmetry properties. It basically has symmetries of an equilateral triangle, like D3 symmetry. And these symmetries lead to various invariant subspaces for the system of delay equations. The invariant lines x1, x2 equals x3, and invariant planes xj equals xj plus 1 for j mod 3. This is a result of permutations and it's a result of reflection. Okay, now I'm just going to rescale the system that I showed you using the following change of variables, basically to reduce the number of parameters. We're not really reducing it, we're just absorbing one of the parameters into alpha tilde and beta tilde. Now we can start starting the system. So what is our objective? We have a very long-term objective, which we're still working towards. Basically, we want to describe all possible spatial temporal patterns in the system of delay equations with four parameters, and we hope to exhibit all reported stable patterns in a dynamical system with D3 symmetry. through a single model by choosing certain parameters. In our preliminary work, this is what we would like to do, just in the short term. We would like to show that for the case tau s, tilde tau s, different from tilde tau n, the criticality of a single half bifurcation. Single half double root bifurcation of periodic solutions may be changed as these two parameters are varied. This change of criticality may then lead to I'll explain it later. Basically by double root I mean repeated root. It means that the characteristic equation of the linearized system of Delay equations has a repeated root. Sorry. I'll explain that in my next slide. Okay, basically, I'm going to look at the characteristic equation. First of all, we linearize the system of Delay equations about this fixed point. It's easy to see that the origin in three dimensions is an equilibrium of the system of Delay equation. So the linearized system is given by 3. And as is usual in the literature, non-trivial solutions of this system, of this form, where the CIs are real numbers and lambda is from the complex plane, exist if and only if the following is true. This is the characteristic equation where delta 1 is given by this and delta 2 is given by this expression here. Note that this equilibrium point will be locally asymptotically stable if all roots lambda of the characteristic equation are such that the real part of lambda is negative and unstable if there exists at least one lambda such that the real part is positive. And basically, this is what I mean by double root. There's a repeated root in the characteristic equation. Okay, so as the parameters of varied stability of the trivial solution may be lost by either a real root of the characteristic equation passing through 0 or a pair of complex conjugate roots passing through the imaginary axis. We are really interested in B, case B. And condition B occurs if at least one of the following happens. The first one is that the characteristic equation has a pair of pure imaginary roots, plus or minus I omega, such that delta 1 evaluated at the root is 0, or if the characteristic equation has a repeated pair of pure imaginary roots, plus or minus I omega, such that delta 2 evaluated at the root is 0. So this gives your repeated roots. Like I said, we basically focus on the very last case 2. It may be shown using very standard sort of techniques that a half bifurcation occurs under generic conditions. Basically, we want to study the criticality of this bifurcation to determine the stability of the resulting periodic solutions. And naturally, we are led to center manifold and normal form computations. Okay, I'll briefly review sort of Santa manifold theory and delay and the delay differential equations framework. Basically, we consider an extended delay differential equation of this form. Well, this can be found in the book by Hale, which is Introduction to Functional Differential Equations, I think from 1993. Notation x sub t theta is given by this. F is from the space of continuous functions, and c is given by this. It's a continuous function from minus tau 0 to r. Eta is a function of bounded variation. Next, we define the following linear operator L. Then the linear problem is this. Actually, this is not correct. The linear problem is, this is valid for theta equals 0. Well, we need the box. This is one. X here, this is the linear problem, is equal to d. So this is really the linear problem. We've just ignored the F in the second part equation. Basically, we assume that the parameters in the model are such that the linear problem has m eigenvalues with zero real part. At such a point in parameter space, there exists a splitting of the space phi in the following form, where p is an m dimensional subspace spanned by solutions of the linear problem generated by the m zero real part eigenvalues. P and Q are invariant under the flow associated with the linear problem. Now, for the non-linear problem, the following is true. There exists a center manifold defined by this, with the flow given by this expression here, where phi is the basis for the subspace P and H is from Q. Essentially, this is the term that we're interested in, H. We would like to find this H for reasons that I'll explain in a minute. Is that in the flow of the nonlinear problem satisfies the following ODE, where B is an M by M matrix whose eigenvalues have zero real part, and B is given by this. The bilinear form, according to Hale, is given by this expression, this bilinear form of the linear problem. Okay, now this is the difficult slide. For our problem, we need to find the function H. To see why we need to find H, you know, there's been some work that's been done in the literature by Wu, and also from the book by Golubsky, Singularities and Bifurcations. Basically, the paper by Wu et al., they showed that there are basically three types of periodic solutions, phase log, standing waves, and mirror reflecting. Just looking at the book by Golubsky, and what are called branching equations, it turns out that to study stability of some of these solutions, we do need an expansion of F up to fifth order. I think in the paper by Wu, they did an expansion of F up to third order. And they were actually looking at the case when tau F is identical to tau N. For our case, we will expand F up to fifth order because the branching equations show us. Okay. Now I'll just go quickly through the center manifold computations. The elements needed to write the system of ODEs describing Z are the following. Phi is given by this matrix here, where the various eigenfunctions are related this way, where the bar is just the complex conjugate. And Z is given by this vector here, where again, X and Y are complex numbers. And B is defined by this matrix here. We may actually write the eigenfunctions in a more compact form this way. This makes it easy to find the elements of this matrix. That B is given by and the inverse of this times and here 0. Actually, writing the eigenfunctions this way makes it easy to compute the elements of this matrix. Computing H, these are the higher order terms that we are after. Thus, we recall that the system of ODE is describing Z, is given by this, where F, now we expand F up to fifth order, where the coefficients are given by these two expressions here. We will use a very standard, I guess, approach in the literature. We assume that this H can be expanded in power series. So the lowest order term is just second order, and then higher order term. U2 is a matrix of constants, basically. It's basically a 3x10 matrix of constants. And as you can see from equation 9, we need to know U2 if F is expanded up to fifth order, so we need to know U2 for X to compute fifth order terms in X. And we denote the matrix U2 using the following notation. It's a 3x10 matrix of constants. Further, we just for convenience of notation, we denote that in the following way, and x t of theta by this. Now we need to determine this term here, U2 z squared. By z squared, I mean just z times the transpose of Z. So it's a matrix. Therefore, we get xt at theta by this expression. We just plug in whatever we obtain by evaluating this term here. And then we substitute tan into the ordinary differential equation given by this expression here. And what we do is actually equate like powers of z on both sides of the equation to get 30 sort of first order ODEs for the elements of U2. It turns out that not all of these equations are coupled, so it's actually straightforward to solve them symbolically. And it's important to emphasize that we are interested in symbolical solutions because we would like to prove some rigorous sort of theoretical results about criticality in the long term. So I guess unlike the earlier talk this morning where they're actually computing coefficients of the normal form numerically, we would like to get symbolic expressions of these coefficients. Well, certainly solving this system of ODEs gives the integration constants, and turns out that we have 14 of them for this system. And the big problem is determining these constants of integration. So we determine the constants of integration by collecting like terms on both sides of what I call the initial condition ODE. Basically, a delayed differential equation could be looked at as an initial condition kind of ordinary differential equation. This is your equation right there, and that's just your initial condition, the second part. So this is my initial condition of the ODE. From this procedure, we get 27 coupled. It's important to emphasize that all these 27 equations are coupled, involving the 14 constants of integration. So I guess the problem where we are really stuck at right now is to how to solve a system symbolically. And so far, I guess what we've been doing is trying to use Maple to do it, but no, certainly cannot do it at this point. So I guess part of the reason why I'm giving this talk is just fishing for ideas from, I don't know, the audience or people who might have experience with this to probably give us some ideas how we might proceed to actually symbolically solve this system. I guess that's about it. It's a short talk.